Hi, welcome to the Writer's Source Podcast, hosted by Ufoma and Faith. The Writer's Source Podcast is a platform for writers and lovers of the writing industry in Nigeria and Africa as a whole. Do sit back and enjoy this episode. Hi guys, welcome to another episode of the Writer's Source Podcast. Today we have with us screenwriter Tomi Adesina. Tomi Adesina is a Nigerian screenwriter, poet, teacher, and author of short stories. She's also a media and corporate individual officer. Tomi is also a PhD student, researcher, and she's known for a number of films, including Casanova, Hakunde, and The Wait. Her blog series, Dear Future Husband, as well as a number of others, Please Break My Heart, Clandestine, In Search for Forever, amongst others, have been known on her blog, Tomi Slav Island. Her first book is Judges, Pieces of Me. Tomi is also the winner of the 2015 Home Bidder Prize for Screenwriting for her screenplay on cyberbullying, Feisty John. And she's also a recipient of the Nigerian Writers Award for Best Young Writer in 2015. Tomi has also bagged the AMA Award for Best Screenplay for the screenplay for the film Hakunde, and she has also bagged AMVCA nominations for the same film. Welcome, Tomi, and thank you for taking out the time to sit with us.
Welcome, Tomi.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. All right, so we're just going to go straight into it. Tomi, let's just talk about your earliest memory of writing before we talk about, you know, the amazing things that you are doing. What can you date back to, you know, when you first started writing or when you knew that you wanted to be a writer?
Earliest memory of writing. I used to have my earliest memory of writing as a seven-year-old until I was corrected by my parents and a family friend who had said, oh, no, I think it's way earlier than that. But I mean, as a seven-year-old then, I used to write stories in every available book I could lay my hand on. Every white sheet of paper became like my canvas, so to speak, in this, you know, context where I would write stories and tell these stories to myself and most importantly, my brothers, who would painfully listen to me tell them a fictional story that I conjured for our, you know, for our childhood. That was what childhood was like. It was a lot of storytelling and a lot of writing. So I think that for me was like the formative stage of it, where you're consistently telling a reoccurring story. You've created these characters, you're living with them, and this story spans through my teenage years. So you can imagine how many years it was where we created these fictional characters that we lived with. And my brothers were like, oh yeah, Tomi, it's time for the Henry story. It was called Henry. Yeah, one of the characters was called Henry anyway. So we would always like talk about Henry, his childhood, going to school, and things like that. And it just continued. And also I was part of the drama unit in my church when I was also a much younger person and a teenager. So that meant I could, you know, see these things actually come to fruition, that is in real time, and see the acting on stage and find myself immersed in an environment where I just knew I wanted to tell stories. However the form was, you know, it didn't really matter at the time. I just wanted to be telling stories because that was, you know, how my mind was like a creative bubble where you just want to express yourself for, you know, as long as it takes. So yeah, I think for me that's pretty much where it started from.
Amazing. Great. Awesome. I think every writer really has a story to when they started, and yours is interesting. I think I like the fact that your brothers liked your writing, and so it means that so from the very beginning everybody just knew this is what Tomi was going to do, and you know, here we are.
I mean, in all fairness, it's not like they had to read it, they had to listen to it, so it's a lot more engaging when someone is telling you stories. Yeah. Rather than you actually sitting and reading through it at that stage of our lives, I probably would not have been able to give them the best version of any form of writing that they might enjoy, but they would cope with it and their sister.
Yes.
So Tomi, believe that every writer has a process that they go through when they are creating. Could you tell us a bit more about your writing process, how that looks like for you?
that's well, I mean, it is true. I believe everyone has a process that they go through whenever they're, putting any form of creation into existence. Mine can be, I mean, it's quite scattergun slash sporadic, if I'll be honest, because I wouldn't say there is like a one size fits all that I follow through. I think different projects, different works that I have to do always demand a different approach from me. But essentially, I always like to have an idea. And sometimes I just have a title. Other times I just have a character nudging at my brain and I know that I want to build something off this person or I want to build something off this thought. Sometimes it's literally anything that comes to your mind in terms of like, an inspiration that you're blessed with and you feel like, okay, I can run from here. And the first thing for me is to, just write it down. May not necessarily be writing down the plot, but it's just writing down the thoughts that I'm having. And if I'm writing down the thoughts, it's almost like a journaling process. But what I'm also doing is I am feeding it back to myself. And from there, when it becomes a coercive argument or a coercive thought that I'm like, okay, I can go with this into a story, then I want to obviously do a treatment because when I treat it, I can see the 360 plan. I can see the full length of the story, or I can see what is potentially the full length of the story because there is almost nothing that goes like full length in terms of story writing for me. When I start and I, start scripting or even start writing, sometimes it just takes a completely different route from what I had originally intended. But a treatment is always a foolproof method that is just like a first good to have because that way I can see what is like a step-by-step process of it. And for those who might not be familiar with the idea of a treatment is like an extended synopsis. And if you're not familiar with the synopsis is like a summary, a short summary of the idea you want to work on. So from a synopsis to a treatment. Treatment is like the full-blown thing, scene by scene, moment by moment, plot by plot, character by character, how they are layered, how your story progresses and develops up until the end point of it. And after I've done my treatment, then I go into my writing process. So if it's a screenplay, I start scripting. If it were prose, I start writing it down. If it's a poem, obviously it's not exactly the same in terms of like a treatment, but for a poem, I just jump into it and see where it takes me. It takes me to. So that's pretty much my process when it comes to writing, is creating the best environment as possible, which is my own induced noise because I don't like silence when writing, but still ensuring that I can efficiently go through these processes of creating a synopsis and a treatment and eventually the writing itself.
Love it. I actually really love it. And I like that you do a treatment for as well. It's
Yes.
actually, so you basically have the whole thing, put out there and you know what you're jumping into.
Yeah, good word.
You know,
Jumping in.
I saw the funniest thing on Twitter. Somebody said I was following a screenwriter and she said, people think, thank God you defined what a treatment was. Because she said, whenever she mentions treatments at home, people are always like, are you going to the doctors or something? So it's just always funny. One of those screenwriters' lingo.
Oh
It's an interesting word to use for it, to be fair. Treatment. It does sound like, what are you treating, actually? Yeah,
yes.
it actually sounds like that. I, for one, I've always wondered why the word is treatment, actually.
I have no idea, but I'm happy to run with it. So.
Yes.
So tell me, what are your challenges as a screenwriter in Nigeria? Like, what are your challenges as a screenwriter and then as a screenwriter in Nigeria? Because I feel like they are two different things.
Wow. I like to think that, in terms of challenges as a screenwriter, you first have to think about how you want to, make something out of this in terms of a career. For me, the whole essence of screenwriting or the joy behind screenwriting also is seeing this character's life on, on TV, seeing an actor take a character from, something that is just is on a piece of paper and give nuances, say the dialogue the way you think you want to hear it in your head, and all those little things. These are the dreams that you have as a writer. So obviously, when you're thinking about the challenges that you might face, is getting to that point where you actually get your work in front of a producer, or you get your work in front of, a director or someone who is interested, or where someone actually finds you, really, and can actually bring that work into fruition so that people can see that this is what you're on about, or this is what your talents are, and they can give you like a platform to express yourself. I think it's challenging anywhere, Nigeria and probably in different, climates, it's all the same because we're all trying to like find the best platforms to express ourselves and the types of stories that we want to tell. So I think that's the first one, is finding the right audience for your work in terms of like filmmakers and production and what have you. And I had to go through that too, just like many other writers would tell you that they've had to go through that. But once you cross that part, you probably have another challenge, is learning to write for your industry. That is learning to understand your industry, learning to, respond to the audience in that industry. Because now your audience is no longer the filmmakers and all that. You're now talking about the larger audience as people, consumers on the streets, people who don't even know that they need your story until they meet your story. So your challenge is actually growing different faces. And I think I also experienced that when I've had to like not just get myself to meet a producer or get people to recognize me, but then having to write to suit the audience. And sometimes that can be tricky because as a writer, you also have this thinking in your mind where you feel like your responsibility is to tell a story that you want to tell. And that's quite true. I mean, that's the honest truth, because you also want to express yourself as much as possible. But if you're not, expressing yourself in a way that is accessible to people, then you're almost not doing the work, because at the end of the day, they are your end producers or end consumers, sorry. And if they're going to receive what you're giving to them, they have to receive it in a way that is understandable, in a way that they get it. So, having to cross that divide too in your mind of having to tell a story, having to understand the culture of where you want to tell a story and responding to that culture, responding to the people, responding to, what the demands that it places on you. And of course, not forgetting the financial side of things, because that's also like it's indirectly, everything is related, because you need, you need to pay your bills, right? And to pay your bills also means that you need to get job opportunities. And screenwriting is something that now, if you look at the market in Nigeria, is booming massively. It probably wasn't the same like, few years ago, if you just wind back on the clock, but it's really good right now. It's in and it can obviously get better, but it's in a good place. And I'm sure that people who are consistently writing now are, more, I would say they have a lot more to benefit from the way the industry is shaping and potentially can still shape up. So the challenges are multi-layered. For me, obviously, started with getting access, that is getting into the industry, then understanding the culture of the industry, responding to the culture of the industry. How do I write? How do I write for this type of industry? The industry is really fast-paced in Nigeria because, TV series, you have to churn out your scripts, high demand, so many things to write. And then, of course, you have to respond to that. That means your brain has to be wiring 24/7. In terms of like the story understanding of it. And of course, that cannot be very easy depending on your strength as a writer. Sometimes your brain is not thinking that fast. Other times your brain just wants to rest because it's storytelling and it can get fried quickly. So, there's also that as a challenge. And of course, the financial demands that you think about in terms of like, is this proportionate to what you're given mentally? Is this proportionate to your time? But, it comes back to the love for the craft. Do you love this? How much do you love it? How much do you want to do it? So these are realistic challenges that I would say are faced. And I think it's also, I can also point to it in terms of like Nigerian film industry, it kind of goes hand in hand for me, if you see what I'm saying. So yeah, challenges that I think I've seen there.
Yeah, and there's something you said while you were speaking that I really liked. You said you never know who meets your story until they meet your story. And that's very true. When, as writers, we create stories. For us, it might just be, at some point, we're just enjoying what we're doing. And you never know how that story affects the person they meet. And also talking about the challenges and, the industry. I think the industry is doing much more better than it was, let's say, 2, 3, 4 years ago. And of course, there's room for improvement. So talking about the industry, do you think there's more that can be done for writers? And so I would say there are two parts to this question. Do you think there's more that can be done for writers? And what advice will you give to writers who want to get jobs in the industry?
Okay, first, I'll take the first one. More for writers. There's always more that can be done for writers, absolutely. Because, when you think about it, you're dealing with the first creative brain of a final output. So no matter how much work goes into like the story in terms of the acting, in terms of the directing, all that can be done out of thin air. You need to start from the paper. What's on the paper? What's on the screenplay? So, you know, it's such a risk. It's such a high honor job, if you see what I'm saying, especially if you take it that seriously.
Yeah.
That this work means I'm the one responsible for what comes out here. A director is going to take your script. They're going to form a vision of that screenplay, and they're going to run with it. And if you're blessed, they're going to expand it in such multi-dimensions that even you as a screenwriter could never have seen it going. But that's because you wrote something. You know, the room for them to express that is not possible without a platform for them to pick it up from. So definitely the responsibility that comes with writing also means there should be very good remuneration, there should be very good visibility, there should be very good respect that is accorded to people who do that job. And when people see how much respect and you know, value is placed on writing, they are also challenged to improve their skills, because if you don't see any value in something, it might be very difficult for you to take it seriously, you know. So that's another thing that might be a very huge problem, is the fact that where there's lack of value, there's no need to be personal about it. And when you're not personal about it, the quality of work that will come out will be subpar. And so power work is also owing to, you know, sometimes owing to lack of talent, but other times owing to lack of motivation. So, you know, when you push people with visibility and all the other perks that come with doing good work, you would have other people aspiring to want to do good work. They will put in the work to develop themselves. They will take classes. They will learn. And when they do all these things, they will give you better production. They will give you better writing. And they'll be much more flexible with, you know, understanding what you're demanding of them, and can even show you new lights as a result of the investment that has gone into them. So what I'm saying in essence is there should be investments, you know, tons and tons of screenwriting workshops would be very helpful. That's one thing that, you know, if it's put into the industry, if people have the opportunity to learn from others who have like improved their skills, and, you know, different people in, you know, from different climes and different cultures, different backgrounds, if you take from them, if you understand how they're able to adapt story, if you understand how they're able to tell stories, then you would see that the quality of stories that people will start to write would improve. It's not like the stories are not there. Sometimes the skill is just the problem. So to bring it up to that point where you're like, okay, this is fantastic, this is mind-blowing, skill obviously needs to compensate for that. That skill would meet talents. And once you can harness, you know, you can harness that brilliant skill and put it with someone who's got a natural mind for storytelling, before you know it, they're writing much better stories. And it's the same for even, you know, directors and producers, people that are keen on improving themselves. Once you're keen to improve yourself, you're going to produce better work. So definitely more can be done for writers, because if you give them more platform to learn and for them to improve, we as writers can obviously go, you know, there are no limits to what you can do with storytelling once there is an opportunity for people to start grafting and improving on those skills. And to the second question, which is like, what advice would I give for writers trying to break into the industry? I'll say keep writing. It's very cliche, but you have to keep doing it. The first thing that you hold to yourself is to be good at what you're doing. And so if there's room for you to develop that, do it. If you need to take extra courses on, I don't know, Coursera, FutureLearn, Demi, you know, meet people on mentorship classes, people that can, I mean, I run one where I'm able to do that right now, but speak to people, that's the thing. And I'm also still learning, that's the point. Like, speak to people, learn as much as you can, improve your craft. Another very useful thing to break into an industry, I would say, is apply for competitions, apply for openings, because sometimes the difference between meeting a producer for one person and the other person is just access. And that access can be breached by either knowing somebody or by doing something that gets you in front of them. So I know, for example, there are some filmmakers I probably would have never been able to reach if I did not get, for example, my own Vida breakthrough in 2015, you know. So sometimes those little blessings, you know, I thank God for that, because just having that opportunity just meant, oh, someone can see me and say, oh, you won this, can I talk to you about this story? You know, otherwise it might be difficult for me to even meet that person. Where would I have thought about the person or dreamt of speaking to the person? I mean, you might get lucky sometimes, but you know, when you're out there in terms of entering for competitions, entering for all these little things, you give yourself an opportunity, you give yourself a chance. Another one is networking. Now, networking is difficult, and I'm probably not the best person to give advice on networking because I know I can be quite terrible at it when it comes to actually going out. I don't really like leaving my house. That's the thing. I've never liked it. But it's something you have to do. You need to go out. You know, if there are writer-related events, you want to be there. You want to be talking to people. You know, if you're lucky to have a group of friends, just tell them, want to go out. Let's go to this place. Go there. Walk up to people. Say hi to people. It's not the worst thing in the world to actually speak to someone about yourself. And I know that's very difficult for people who do, you know, artistic work because it's such a, you know, there's such a modesty attached to being quiet, so to speak. I don't know. I think, you know, it's very important. If I probably had learned that earlier, I would have taken a good chance on it, an opportunity. But I honestly would not say for 100% I would have done that. But it is very valuable. Networking. You want to be networking. You want to be entering for competitions. You want to keep writing so that your story has a chance when you get into competitions. Because that's where you're like, you know, something just separates you. It's just a tiny edge. And then before you know it, you're from point A to point B. Of course, you can do cold emails too, you know, where you just email someone and shoot your shots literally. And it works in some cases. It's not, you know, impossible for it to work. It does work. It's just that it's such a huge pool that it might take one or two or three, you know, before that actually happens. So yeah, I think I've given like four tips there that I think might be very useful. I mean, they're quite common knowledge, but you'll be surprised how many people need common knowledge to be reemphasized. Even myself, I keep reemphasizing those things that I think are common knowledge to me, but sometimes you need to reemphasize the truths before you're like, you know, sure about what to do. So yeah, that's what I think.
Yeah, and you're very right about what people think is common knowledge is not really so much common knowledge. And I think another thing, just a comment, I think another thing is that directors and producers as well should be, should I say, more supportive of screenwriters, because I've also seen situations where a whole movie is ready and you're just getting a screenwriter like 2 weeks to your scheduled shooting date and all that, just, you know, put together a script, we have the story and all that. But I recently worked with a production house and I must say it was amazing having to work directly with the director, producer, and getting their ideas on my work and with the team of writers as well. And that also made me and the rest of my team see that where there is, because it's not really always a solo job. Sometimes you think writing is a solo job, but when it comes to, you know, big projects and something that has to do with film and that will go on TV, everybody's input makes it. In that case, it's not too many cooks spoil the broth for that particular case. So everybody's input to the story and to how it should go, and understanding the director's perspective, understanding the writer's perspective, makes the story a very good one. So I think that producers and directors should also be more open to working closely with writers rather than just, okay, you know, do the script, writers deliver, and then they just do anything they want to do to it at the end of the day. So thank you for the tips, Tommy.
No worries.
Thank you, Tommy. In my own opinion, you've said it like words for days. I can imagine, because some of our listeners take notes, I can just imagine their notes being filled up with all these tips and everything you said. So speaking about writing, are there some stories that you can't write? Because I feel like these are some actors I can't act in this scene. I can't act this kind of movie. So are there things like that for screenwriters? Are there some stories that you can't write, even when you've been offered a job to write it by a producer? Like, do you have like a code like that?
Do you mean me, or do you mean writers in general?
Okay, I mean you.
Absolutely, absolutely. I believe as with anybody, you know, it's the same thing for jobs, it's the same thing for opportunities. Not every opportunity is yours to take or to lose, you know. So sometimes, yes, I do get offered opportunities that I know it's not mine to write. And it could be owing to a number of reasons, which, you know, might be quite personal. But if it's not mine, it's not mine. That's the thing. It's not like there's something like I can say off the top of my head that, oh, yeah, number one, if your story is this, I can't write it. If it's this, I can't. No, I can't say that. But when the opportunity comes, when I have conversations with people, you know, there are many factors, there are many reasons that would make you say, okay, this project is not for me. I can't actually write this, or I can't work on this. So yeah, I've had to do that for projects.
Okay. All right. So Tommy, let's just talk about, before we go, I think we're running out of time. So I know that writers in the industry, especially if you're new, you might be exposed to intellectual property breaches. How would you say writers should protect themselves in the industry?
Well, first thing first, I always advise not to send a treatment to anybody. Now, the thing is, most times writers are very enthusiastic. So, and especially when you're young and you're trying to get a foothold in the industry. So you shoot your shot and you sometimes don't shoot it, you know, tactfully. You send a screenplay. You're not supposed to send a screenplay to a filmmaker except they request for it. You send a treatment. You should not send a treatment also except requested for. You should only probably send a synopsis, and as much as possible, your synopsis should be your first foot, like your really best foot forward, but should also be as tactfully written as possible. Now, you may not know how to do that from the start, and that's fine, you know, but if you do a synopsis, I think that's bare minimum, you know, and it's always important to, you know, read about copyright laws. Some people just put at the bottom line of their email, this work is protected by, you know, the laws of copyright and all that. And you may not take it seriously, but it starts becoming a serious thing if a case were to come. You can show that I actually said that in my email, you know? So it's very important that when you're sending stuff to people, you start from a synopsis stage. When it gets to screenplay, you would expressly, you know, say that I would like to sign an NDA for this. Don't be afraid to say I want to sign an NDA. Okay. I don't believe any filmmaker should be iffy about an NDA if they weren't trying to be funny with you in the first place. So if someone is going to say, oh, because you asked for an NDA, I'm not going to work with you, then you're probably better off not working with them in the first place, you know? So it might be difficult because of trying to find opportunities, but you need to protect your copyright, you need to protect your intellectual property, because your story is important to you and you want it to go out there. But at the same time, you want to be very, very careful that you're not putting yourself at risk to, you know, losing your story and feeling emotionally cheated, because, you know, stories are funny things, right? Someone can argue with you today to tomorrow over a plot that you developed, and you would just find yourself looking, you know, gobsmacked because a little things were not, you know, just put in place at the initial stage. So big advice for that one is, Don't send a screenplay unsolicited to anybody. If they don't request for your screenplay, you don't need to do that. In fact, it's not fair on the filmmaker, because if a writer just shoots a screenplay to someone, you know, it might be a case whereby they're like, what if the filmmaker didn't read it? And tomorrow you see a story they've done that is similar, right? And then you start accusing them wrongly. You know, that's unfair because you didn't even give them the chance. Do you understand? So it's wisdom to not do that, to not send screenplays or treatments. Treatments are almost screenplays because they're expansive in terms of writing. So do a synopsis instead. You know, they'll be much more at peace with the synopsis rather than a screenplay or a treatment. And always have a copyright statement there. Read up on copyright laws, the ones that can best protect you for, you know, these things. And I think that should be pretty decent.
It has been a very informative and enlightening conversation, and we're so happy that we got to sit down with you. Guys, do well to follow Tomi on Twitter at Tomi_Adesina and on Instagram at Tomi_Adesina. Thank you for listening to this episode. Tomi, thank you for sitting with us. And we had a very wonderful time. So guys at home, do well to follow, listen to the episode and share. Bye.
Thank you for listening to us. Please remember to subscribe and follow us on our social media handles. Details are in the description box.